Can I have James and Robin come up here? How many of you were here last evening? Almost all of us. You may have seen Richmond expressing worship, and he's going to tell us what this is.
This is basically the almond tree blossoming in Israel. And what Pastor Laura explained to me, because I just see what I see, and someone else can really explain to me why I see what I see, was that this is the first awakening, the first message announcing. And for me, that was this is the skyline over this is Rochester's skyline. It's one of the famous bridges in Rochester. And it's, to me, it's what he's saying over Rochester. And when you're speaking about the land and what's going on right now, that's the connection I see. There's something that's blooming over Rochester that's really coming to life. And when you said the doors are opening, I believe that 100%. Even what he's doing with myself, and I see other ministries and gifters. So I want to present this to you, you and your wife, to take back to your home for what you have done for us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, y'all, you know I cannot not look, I have to make a decree over this. So God, we thank you, Lord, that the river of life is now flowing through this land. Father, we thank you that there's an element of glory, Lord, that will begin to touch every structure in this region, Lord God. We say that the glory will come in a new way and begin to touch every structure, Lord God, even the ancient ones, Father. And so, God, we just thank you that as the dew of heaven begins to drip, it is forming a mighty river, Lord, that flows in this region, God. And we thank you that the winter has passed, Lord God. We thank you that the spring is springing forth, Lord God. We thank you that the newness is coming into fruition, Lord God. Father, we thank you that the blood of Jesus will cover everything, Lord God, in the past, Lord, and we say spring will spring forth in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay.
Because I love this lady so much, I want to introduce her. This woman here, when I say she's a preacher, I don't mean she gets up here and preaches. This woman preaches. I'm not going to say at me. She preaches to me from the time I wake up till I go to bed. Sometimes I have to say, honey, put it in a book. So everybody point to my wife and say, right. Yes, she will. This woman is... she is not only my better half, sometimes she's like just everything. She's my baby mama. She's beautiful. She's everything that I can't say in front of y'all right now. So, my beautiful lady, Robin Vincent.
Oh my. God bless you, brother. Thank you so much, everyone, for attending today. It is a joy and an honor for us to come and to have the opportunity to come alongside you and hold your hands up and war with you and worship with you. Because do you not know that war accompanies worship? It accompanies worship. I always say it this way. Just as experience from being that man's wife, that you will not truly war for that which you do not truly love. There has to be a deep element of love in you if you're going to effectively war for something. And so I learned early on, I'll give y'all a little hint what the Lord was up to. On our wedding day, a friend of ours said, She said, I wrote a song. I want this to be your wedding gift. I wrote a song for you. And so we said, okay, well, yeah, that would be awesome. And so as she began to sing the song, I thought it was going to be Endless Love by Lionel Richie, Diana Ross. You know, I thought it was going to be along that line, you know. Well, she began to sing, and as she began to, she started singing, "For the battle's not mine. For the battle's not yours. It belongs to my Lord." And I'm going, in all of my lace, you know, all of my satin. And I said, okay, this is different. I said, but God, I'm ready for whatever it is the new looks like. Whatever the new looks like, I'm ready for it. And so during that time, as God would have it, there was a hurricane blowing through that was threatening to blow through. And so most of our wedding party, some of the groomsmen, some of the bridesmaids, were saying, y'all gonna have to speed this up because I have to evacuate. And so we were just like, okay, Lord, what is this? And he began to say, like, I've called you to the battle and I'm training you through this union. I'm training you for the wars ahead. But you have to know that I have positioned you. In every war you will face, I have gone before you and you will overcome. And so that was introduction to this man. But I want to leave. I want to start off with where he left off. And he was speaking about spirit and truth and being a true worshiper. And one of the things that the Lord has placed on my heart is for the people of God to come into that place of truth. A lot of times we focus on the spirit part, and he did so well in that first session, allowing us to see what it looks like to live in the realm of the spirit as a true worshiper and what that means for us to express it. But when I got saved, I was pretty raw, to say the least. I was pretty raw and pretty authentic, and I knew what the world looked like, sound like, moved like, because I was really entangled in that. And then when I came into the church, I began to see something that I hadn't seen in the world. And it was like I began to see all of this, all of these facades. I began to see a lot of masks. And I couldn't understand that because I'm like, but Jesus is here. You know, that's the way I was. I was like, I don't understand. Why would you cover that up? He's here. You know? And so I didn't really understand what religion had done to so many people and the lies and the deception that they bought into. I'll give you just a little bit of history. When I met my husband, I was a single mother and had gone through a bad relationship. And so I had twin girls. And the double portion has always been on my life. And I had twin girls. And the Lord began to speak to me. And he said that I'm going to begin to weave you together with James. And I was like, I don't need a man. Why are you doing this? Like, you are all I need, Jesus, you know? And the Lord began to speak some very personal things to me, and he began to really just unravel me. And he began to say stuff like, who are you to tell me you don't need a husband? Who are you to tell me that your kids don't need a father? Who are you to tell me the plan for your life when I already wrote it in my book? You were knit together in your mother's womb. And so it became very personal. And as I walked with the Lord, it became my reality. All the truth that he began to speak into me became my reality. And it was like all of a sudden a new world was formed and framed around me. And so I said, why would people not want this? What is that that causes people not to possess the truth? And the Lord began to speak to me and he said, you know, there's a scripture that says there's a form of godliness that denies the power thereof. And he said, that's what most people come into agreement with when they get saved. They stop communing with the Lord and they start communing with religion. And so I said, God, I said, you know, I really want to understand how to, because this was my only prayer. When I first got saved, I had one prayer. And it was, Lord, let me, and he gave me this prayer. He said, say it with me. He said, Lord, let me love you more. And number two was, and don't let me be deceived. So I'm literally going through the mall, going through the supermarket. Lord, let me love you more and don't let me be deceived. Lord, let me love you more and don't let me be deceived. And so I kind of got this anxiety about it because I was saying, I don't want to be deceived. I don't want to be deceived. And he said, no, you don't understand the power of loving me more. He said, see, when you begin to love me with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, and all of your strength, there will be nothing left for the enemy to deceive you with. He said, that's the power of you asking me for my love. And so going back to John 4, when Jesus comes to the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, he begins at a point of truth. He begins at a point of truth before he begins to talk to her about worship and begins to introduce her into spiritual things. He starts at a place of truth. And he begins to say to her, you know, tell me about the guy you're living with. And she's like, oh, I thought you just wanted a drink. I was here to give you a drink of water because, you know. And he was telling her, no, if you knew the gift of God that was standing in front of you, you would ask me for a drink. And he began to lead her, statement by statement, into that place of truth. Then she could understand spiritual things. Then she could begin to move with the Spirit. That's why it has to be both. Because if you don't start at that place of truth, everything else gets so distorted. And even when you're interpreting dreams or you're interpreting prophecy, you will not see it for what it is, because your soul has not come into alignment. And I've seen that so many times when people are prophesying, they're prophesying the word of God, but it's being interpreted through a wrong place in their soul. And the Lord is saying, no, if you will align both spirit and truth, spirit and truth. And what does that look like? We were counseling one of our spiritual daughters in Malaysia. And we were saying to her one morning, we were, you know, texting back and forth. And she was just having a hard time breaking through, hard time breaking through. And I was praying in the spirit. And I was just saying, God, what is this? Why can't she get detangled from this? And so the Lord began to tell me, tell her to find her place of worship. He said, find her place of worship and she'll see her way out. And so as I began to speak to her, you know, texting, and I was telling her what the Lord was saying, he began to say, no, tell her to admit her faults. That was the worship he was looking for. He said, tell her to admit where she's messed up. Tell her to release those failures. And I was like, wow, okay, okay. So I began to look it up. I said, okay, because he said, the Lord told me, he said, go look up what truth means. And so when I looked it up in the Greek, if you go to John 4:24, where it says God is spirit, the source of life. This is the Amplified. God is spirit, the source of life, yet invisible to mankind. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. And the Lord told me, now look up the word truth and tell her what it means. And I said, okay. So when I looked it up, the word truth in the Greek means nothing concealed or withheld. And I wrote to her these words. I said, you must give him everything, every care and worry, failure and mistake, knowing with confidence that he is your source of life in any situation. And the Lord just really, I mean, it was the breakthrough she needed. I mean, she could not thank us enough at that moment because she had business situations happening. They owned their own business, and it was all, you know, it was all mixed together. It was all one big jumble of a mess. And so she was like, I don't know. I can't breathe. I don't know if we should just let this business go. It was all just, entangled with one another. So I said to her, I said all of this to her, and she said, my God, I begin to worship, and I begin to do everything you said. She said, and now, she said, it was like the strategy came down just out of nowhere, like we knew what we were supposed to do. And she had been struggling with this for weeks. For weeks, she had been struggling with this. And because that's why I was seeking the Lord, because I was like, God, this can't go on. This cannot go on. Like, she is in a mess. And so the Lord began to speak that to me. And he said, that was the rut of Saul. That was the rut of Saul. He wasn't willing to deal with truth. He accepted just having a form of worship. And so there's a divine exchange that normally takes place, that if you don't enter into spirit and truth, you're not going to get your part of it. See, when she entered into that place, the Samaritan woman, when she entered into that place and said, agreed with the Lord and said, you're right. Like, my life is a mess. Then the Lord said, now here's your living water. Here's something that will never run dry. So she received more than she gave at that moment. And that's what happens when we enter into spirit and truth. There's a divine exchange that takes place. And the Lord always gives more. We always get more when we just enter into that place of truth and say, you know what? My kids are a mess. I'm a mess. Can't do it. Can't do it without you. Can't do it without you, not today. And then the Lord just pours out everything that we need. And so Saul started off really good. He started off really well. And the Spirit of God came on him. The Bible says he was changed into a new creature. He became a different man. He was even prophesying the word of the Lord. But somewhere along the line, he began to walk in his own confidence, not depending upon the Lord. He was still going to the altar. He was still hearing the word of the prophet. But somewhere along the line, that form of worship tripped him up, and he began to not need God so much. And so I'm sure most of you know the story, that he gets to this place where he's disobeying the Lord. And the Lord says, I'm going to take the kingdom from him. I'm going to take it from him because he does not do everything that's in my heart to do. And in Acts 13:22, it said, God removed Saul and replaced him with David, a man about whom God said, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. And that was the difference. The Lord, just like James said, no, David was not perfect. God's not looking for perfection. He's the only perfect one. He's not looking for perfection. But David was bent toward the Lord in all things. So what does it look like? It looks like, okay, Lord, I know what you're saying. I know what you're requiring. I'm not in a position to be that right now. Send me the help I need because you are my help. That's who David was. David was like, in the midst of all my distresses, I called on the name of the Lord. He delivered me from every fear. I had a lot of fear, and he delivered me from every fear. That's what made him a true worshiper. Because he called on his God. He knew how to come with him and bring him his mess. He did not cover it up. Whereas Saul's last words before the kingdom was ripped from him was, hold up, let me see if I can get there. If not, I'll just wing it. There you go. So one of the things, you know, he says, okay, and you'll look this up. I think it's 1 Samuel 15. And what happens is, you know, Samuel comes to him. God had already told him, I'm going to send you out to war. I'm going to give you the victory. But I need you to destroy each and every one of them. Leave no stone unturned and kill them all. And so he does not do that. And Samuel confronts him about this. And Samuel says, why didn't you do what the Lord told you? And he says, but I did. I did do what the Lord said. He starts making excuses. I did. And he starts making it look like, you know, have the appearance of obedience. Anyone ever did that? Have the appearance of obedience. And Samuel said, no, you didn't. He said, and because you didn't fully obey, the kingdom is going to be ripped from you this day. And this is his response. Well, the first response, he says, oh, but just come with me so I can go worship, because that's really what I want to do. I just really want to worship right now. And Samuel said, no, the Lord has rejected you. I'm not going with you. And he says, but I need you to come, because people will be looking at me and I need you to honor me in front of them. So that was the motive the whole time. It was exposed. And because he never went to God and said, Lord, I have this fear of men that just plagues me. The fear of man just hangs over me like a cloud. And God, I know there's so many things that you've called me to do, and there's so many things that you've called me to be. Lord, remove this thing from me. Because he never got to that point, the kingdom was ripped from him. And so that's the one thing I want to say today. Because I have an amazing ability to see the Spirit of God moving in his vessels And I don't take credit for that. God has done that. God has done that. But I also see when the river cannot flow, when the Lord cannot take you where he wants to take you. And a lot of times what happens is we fall back on the familiar. And we don't want to do that in this season. We don't want to retreat to something that feels a little more comfortable. It feels just a little more comfortable. I mean, if we press into God and we're staying in this place where we're pressing into God and we're listening for his voice and we're listening for his sound. But we've been here too long. And I'm not really sure that I really want to hang in this place where it doesn't feel comfortable. I want to be able to feel like I'm doing something for God. Well, the Lord is like, you can have that or you can have the real thing. You can have that or you can have the real thing. You can have a form of godliness. You can have a form of worship. Or you can have the real thing. Because like James said, worship is a now thing. It's an act of faith, and faith is now. See, the woman at the well was telling him, but see, our forefathers have done it this way, and we're going to do it this way because our forefathers have done it this way. And Jesus was standing in front of her saying, who do you think it is standing in front of you right now? Are you going to follow me? Are you going to continue to do the familiar? Oh, I know you don't know where this is going to take you. I know you don't know what this is going to look like. But will you trust that I am the source of life? Will you trust that I am the living water that will never run dry? And God is really desiring for his people to move with him. To move with him. That's where he started with his disciples, showing them how to move with him. Follow me. Follow me. Let me take you somewhere. And so I just release that over you. Lord, I say that the spirit of Saul will not be found in your people, God. We cut the cord last night, Lord God, and we say it is finished. It is finished. And we say, Lord, we will allow the Spirit, the same Spirit that dwells in Christ Jesus, the same root of Jesse, root of David. Father, we will say, we say, let that root spring forth where we're rooted and we're planted in the move of God, in the move of God, where we're understanding, Lord, that it's not about us. It's not about how we feel, what we think. But Lord, we say we are rooted in the Spirit of Christ, which dwells richly within us. Lord, that's what will be found this season, God. And Lord, I say there is a mighty river flowing within each one that is here, Lord. There is a mighty, it is not a trickle. The Lord says, stop believing it's a trickle. He said, it is a mighty river flowing within you, and it will move you where you need to be. Father, I thank you for that. I thank you for that, Lord God. Lord, I say increase, 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 God. Increase the move of your spirit within your vessels, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. And the Lord says, you can receive this with joy because I got it. He says, I got it from here. Let go of the will. He says, I got it from here. I got it from here. He says, enjoy the ride. Enjoy the ride. Enjoy the ride. He says, because I got it from here. Let me take you where you've never gone before, he says. He says, this is going to be wild. It's going to be great, but it's going to be full of me. It's going to be so full of me that no one will be able to deny the glory of God on your lives. So we thank you for that in Jesus' name.
Amen. Oh, here, honey, you forgot this. Amen. Yes. I feel like we kind of got a real good foundation in how the Lord really wants to move us all forward in bringing forth the sound that will change a region, that will change a nation. And again, like I said, it's not all about the sound, but it begins with the sound. The sound will begin everything, sets things into motion. It creates, it moves, it causes things to come to life. And it's so amazing to see how beyond our mind all of this is. You know, we can try to figure it out, but really all we do is just hear what God is saying, do it, and then watch what he does. In Joshua, you know, it's the perfect example how he said, okay, what you're going to do is march around for this many times. Then you're going to blow horns, and then you're going to shout. You know, and I'm sure all of Joshua's, you know, leaders were looking at him like, okay, so you're saying, okay, that's all great, but what's the strategy for war? You know? Okay. I'm going to repeat myself. This is what we're going to do. We're going to line up this way. We're going to march around this many times. You guys are going to blow your horns. These guys are going to shout. And they're all looking at him like, somebody put something in his tea, you know, you know. And so then, because Joshua and many of those who were with him believed the word of the Lord, they went, they did what God said. And as soon as they blew horns and shouted, everything began to crumble. And they were able to go into the place that they could not go into before, defeat their enemies and take the land, to include it in the promise that he gave to Abraham. Amen. There's a plan, like we saw, like the Lord had us up here singing last night. The Lord had a plan from the very beginning. And like Al was saying yesterday, there was a journey that he sent Moses on to continue to bring Abraham into the promise that he gave him many years prior, hundreds of years prior. But these people, they went around and around and around. It was only supposed to take 11 days, and it took 40 years. Matter of fact, mathematically, it was just over 40 years. But so here's Joshua. Here is a people, Joshua and Caleb, as a matter of fact. God said, okay, Moses, the people in Moses' generation didn't do it. Let's see if now 40 years later, you guys are ready to come into my eternal plan that I gave Abraham hundreds of years prior. And I believe that we are up on this time now in Rochester. I always ask, is it okay for me to put my hand in my pocket? It's not disrespectful to anybody, is it? I always think, you know, we travel so much, and so sometimes you're just aware of little things that you, you know, you just don't want to do certain things. So, always ask. So I believe we're up on that time right now in Rochester. And in the next session, I want to begin to, I'm going to say a few things, but I want to begin to release some sounds, but it's not going to be just me. It's going to be all of us. Just because I'm a singer and all that stuff, it doesn't make me more qualified than you to release a sound. I always explain to people, God does not care how well you sing. He doesn't, that doesn't move God. Now, what matters with singing is if he's given me a gift to sing well, then I need to steward that correctly. But it does not matter whether or not you sing as good as me. Your voice will be just as powerful. Your sound is just as powerful. Amen. I was thinking of a few instances while Robin was speaking in just being obedient to how God sends you. And one thing we also all need to realize is that if you're living here, don't think that you're just here by chance. The Lord has sent you to this region. A lot of times we kind of walk around like zombies because society has taught us to live a certain way, operate a certain way, and, you know, just take care of your house, your kids, make sure you get your education, work, retire, do all this stuff. But if he's placed you in a region, you're there for a reason. If he sends you to another region, you're there for a reason. There's some reason that you're there. Many times we're not there fulfilling a call to where he wants us. And there's individual calls, there are corporate calls. The same way, I mean, I think Joshua is a perfect example. Joshua had a specific call for Joshua. He chose Joshua after Moses died to cause him to lead the people into the promise. But the collective call for everyone was to fight and go into the promise and fulfill the call of God. So that was kind of a side lead in to what I was really wanting to say. I remember a few months back, it must have been summertime, I believe. Was it when Jamin and I went to New Orleans? Or was it fall? It was, and I just came home one day, and the Lord just highlighted to me, go to New Orleans. And I'm from New Orleans, so it's not hard for me to say, yes, I'm going to New Orleans, you know. But he said, go to New Orleans, and I want you to pray, and I want you to worship there. I'm going to show you where. And so I said, you know what? We don't really get much of a chance to take our children with us when we travel. So my oldest son, I said, hey, you want to go to New Orleans with me and worship and pray? And he was like, no. And I said, okay, son, I was trying to give you an opportunity to choose righteousness, but you're going. So I got the tickets. We flew to New Orleans, and what I told him before we went, I said, what I want you to do, the Lord said three spots. He said, I want you to go to three different places, and I want you to sing, release the sound. And so I knew the two places, and specifically, there's a place, City Park. I said, we're going to go to City Park. We're going to go to Jackson Square. And I said, so, son, I want you to pray and see what the Lord shows you as the third place. He said, all right. So as we were leaving to go to New Orleans, I said, did you pray? He said, yeah, I did. And all I saw was water. He said, water. I said, okay. Or do y'all say water up here? you guys, do you guys know John and Cheryl Price? Yeah. They're awesome. Awesome people. We travel the world with them all the time. I always hear them say water. I'm like, yeah. Yeah. So we get there, and we go to City Park, and we're worshiping and just singing. And so then all of a sudden, my son says, well, I just want to release this on the inside. I'm like, oh. You know, but I was like, yes, okay, that's good, son. Good, good. So then we go. I said, you know what? Okay, now we got to head to Jackson Square. After we leave Jackson Square, we're going to find some water to go and release the sound over. Also, you know what? Let me go back to City Park. As I was releasing the sound in City Park, the Lord said, now I want you to release the sound of a shofar with your voice. Now, I'm thinking to myself, Lord, it's daytime. This is City Park. There are people all around here. As bold as I am, I just don't want to look crazy. And what's funny is New Orleans has a lot of crazy people walking around. Yeah, I just don't want to be numbered among the crazy. But I said, Lord, you know what? I'm willing to look like a fool for you. Yeah. So I just released it. And I don't remember what I said. Oh, you know what? I didn't say anything. I just went, oh! I just released a sound like that. And I looked, and everybody's just walking like they normally do. Didn't even look my way. Probably thought to themselves, another nut. But that I'm just saying, you know what? We need to release our silly mindsets. These silly mindsets that hold us back from doing and being everything God is saying. So many times it's stuff that we've made up in our imagination. You know, there are so many, sometimes I'll hold myself back or have in the past held myself back. You know what? I'm not even going to bother asking for this because I already know what the answer is going to be. Then I'll say, you know, I'll just go up and ask. And I'll ask, and it's totally opposite of what I thought the response was going to be. But what would have happened if I would have just chosen to, you know, to just stay back in my own silly mindsets? And I think that's a very important thing to understand if we're going to move in spirit and in truth. If we're going to move prophetically, we got to get over ourselves. We got to get over our silly mindsets. Be free. Everybody just shout, freedom! It's the day of freedom. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. So then we go to, I said, you know what? I've lived in New Orleans for years and I still don't know where Jackson Square is. That's weird. And it's a popular place. So anyway, so we're driving and we get to Jackson Square and there's Jackson Square over here. Right across the street is the water. And I said, Lord, you made this easy. Like, God, I mean, we probably did this for 2 hours and our entire purpose was done in 2 hours, you know, but I was just like, son, do you see how you heard God in this situation? You know, you submitted once I made you and then, and then you were able to see clearly what God wanted. I was just so amazed. And so we went and we released the sound over the water. And then we went over across the street to Jackson Square and released the sound there. And excuse me. So then not long after we released the sound, the elections took place. And of course there was a riot that started right there in New Orleans. And I looked at my wife and I said, how do we know that the Lord didn't send me there to release that sound so that there's something already there to stay the violence of that riot? And really, I mean, it didn't even get as bad as I'm sure they would have wanted it to there. But if just the little simple commands that God gives us to move and to release or to say. How many dancers do we have in here? I'm just all of a sudden seeing that there's a movement of dance. It goes along with the dream that I had. I'm sorry. I'm just like, it's just going. Yeah. As I was speaking, I just began to see the dance movement, a prophetic dance movement that is just as powerful as any sound that will go forth. This dance movement, I see things breaking, moving, causing the atmosphere to respond in ways that sometimes words will not even cause to come to fruition. So, Lord, right now, I bless these dancers. I bless the dancers to move powerfully, to see you, to move with you. Spirit and truth upon the dancers. Spirit and truth upon the dancers in Jesus' name. I'm going to interject. Oh, okay.
When we teach worship around the world, what James is teaching now is exactly what we see. A sound releases your song. Your song releases your dance. Your dance releases his angels.
Amen. Amen.
And happy are the feet of those who bring good news. That means that your dance is bringing a message. That means your dance is releasing a sound that opens up and brings joy in, that brings in that place of rejoicing, even where the land begins to rejoice. Sometimes we go into other regions and we can tell that the land is very, it's like it's overworked. And it's tired. And when we were in Kenya last year, I could just feel the land was just like, the only picture I could say was like a donkey. And it was just like, it was like a burden. It was just like, oh my gosh, I have to work, I have to work, I have to work. And we saw the same thing in the people. Like, we gotta work, we gotta work, we gotta work. But I could hear the land crying out more than the people. And so a lot of times when we begin to release those sounds, we're ministering on at root levels where things begin to shift and go into their right order. So understand there's great power in that.
Amen. So your dance, it's not so much the power of the dance, it's the power of following his movement. It's the same thing with singing and playing instruments. It's the power of his movement. A lot of times people say, how do I get as powerful as you? And there's no training manual on becoming powerful. I'm not even the powerful one. I just live and move according to how he's saying. And we should all have that high level of power, because it's all in the obedience. It's all in the obedience. Hallelujah. So I'm just going to interject this dream really quickly. I feel like I have to say this dream, because a lot of times we separate the dance from everything. It's like the sound is here. Now, oh, wow, look at them. That's so awesome. They're moving over there. No, like it's all one sound, and it's going to be married together in such a way that it has not been. And I love places like Glory of Zion. I love how they infuse the movement with the sound. But there is, in this dream, I had led worship. I did worship. I was there with Chuck and Chad Foxworth. I did worship. It was this whole awesome sound set. And then we finished, and then there was like a separate stage over here, and then dance started. And they did this whole awesome dance routine, and then it all ended. Well, so I went to eat in one section with the singers and musicians, and the dancers went to eat in an entirely different section, eating something totally different. And so long story short, I'm leaving the place, and I'm cutting off quite a bit, but in the end, I'm looking, and there's a lady walking out like this, like she was sick. It was one of the dancers. I said, what was wrong with her? Then I looked down on the steps that were a little farther out, and there was a lady kind of sprawled out on the stairs like this, just kind of unconscious, like something had happened to her. And I said, that's one of the dancers. And then there was another lady on the ground, and then more people were walking out, like ambulances were coming. Like all the dancers apparently had been poisoned with their food. And I said, that is odd. I said, I woke up saying, we should all be partaking of the same thing. I'm over here eating something so good and delicious, and they're over there, whatever lies that they're being fed, that they are not part of this, it's killing them and not able to fulfill what God has called them to fulfill. There is a huge portion. I mean, there was, it didn't just say that Miriam sang a great song after they crossed over. It said that she sang, she played, and she danced. She did all three. It should all be married together. Amen. It's all part of the prophetic sound, the prophetic sound. And before we move into the next section, I'm going to just say before I forget, because I have a tendency to forget what I was going to say. When you say prophetic sound, what it means is that it's what God is doing at the moment. It's what he's doing. It's coming from heaven. It's like, and it testifies of Jesus. It testifies of the Spirit of God and the words that flow from his mouth.
Just to kind of tag on to what he's saying about how it all flows together. And like we said, if you tune into Glory of Zion, you'll see how the word and the worship works together. And so it just put me in that mindset of 1 Samuel 10. You can see a very vivid picture of what that looks like. It's when Samuel's prophesying to Saul, and he says, when you arrive at Gibeah of God, where the garrison of the Philistines is located, you will meet a band of prophets coming down from the place of worship. And he says, they will be playing a harp, a tambourine, a flute, and a lyre, and they will be prophesying. At that time, the Spirit of the Lord will come powerfully upon you, and you will prophesy with them. You will be changed into a different person. After these signs take place, do what must be done, for God is with you. So what you see is that band of musicians, first of all, they take their place. I just loved what Keith was doing today. He was calling us up, because you come up to that place of worship. You come up to that place of worship, and then the Lord begins to speak from that place. So then there may be a word or a dance that comes and joins in the move of God. But by the end of it, you have a full expression of what the Lord is doing. It's like the Bible says how, you know, one joint supplies the other joint. And so it's the full body working together. It's the prophetic working with the worship. It's the warfare coming in into that place where the worship has already gone before. See, if there's no place for me to step into in my worship, I can't war. I cannot war from a place where the worship has not gone before us. I cannot prophesy from a place where the worship or the sound has not been released. So, with that.
And to keep breaking our paradigms, this is worship. So is the potter's wheel. So is your tablet that you're getting strategies and stories. We've got to get over the mindset that worship is three songs, maybe a dance. It is whatever he has called you to do to express his love back to him.
Yes. 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 Amen. All worship, like we saw before in the first session, is basically this right here. This is all worship. Lord, what do you want me to write? Lord, what do you want me to sing? Father, how do you want me to move? Father, I can't make this business transaction unless you put it in my hand, unless you show me. Lord, am I taking this class because I want to increase my knowledge or because it's something that you're pouring into me? Worship. And I feel like before we can move any farther, we have to understand that worship is, like he said, it's not only the pre-message entertainment or altar call background music. Father, break our mindsets. So, Father, we marry every aspect of who you are in what we're doing. Father, let the sound go first. Let the movement go. Let the words come forth that need to come forth. And Father, right now we submit. We submit to how you see Rochester. How you see Rochester. We submit to it, Father. And however you want to open the door, open the windows over us, Father, we are in a worship position, Lord. We are in a bowed position to receive you. In Jesus' name.
So, Father, we break off the mindset, Lord God, that labels will confine us, Father. We will no longer be labeled, Father, but we will break into the fullness of God's expression. The fullness of God's expression on our lives, God. Everything that you wove into us, Lord God, we will fully give expression to that. That which the Spirit is birthing out of us, Lord God, we'll give a full expression of that. And we will not be held down to a label or a title or a position, Father. Lord, the word of the Lord says that roles are even changing. He says roles are changing. Roles are changing. He said there's a positioning and a shift that's taking place in my body. He says, and the enemy will not know which direction to come from. He said, because roles are changing and I'm shifting things out of the order that demonic strongholds were set up around my people. He said, but those strongholds are going to come down. He said, and you're going to just flow like a mighty river. You're going to flow effortlessly. He says, and just go where the wind takes you. Just go where my Spirit takes you. He said, because it will be more powerful and more effective for you to move with me than everything that you've done for the past 3 decades. And so, God, I just thank you for that. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father, that there's a renewal coming to the church. There's a renewal coming to the church, God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for that. And we say, Lord God, every form that has been placed wrongfully within us, God, we say it is now annihilated in the name of Jesus. It cannot stand. We say every wall, like the Jericho wall, comes down. Everything that was constructed falsely and wrongly around our gifts, around our callings, we say it comes down now in Jesus' name.